again in chapter 7, and particularly the words at the beginning of verse 16, Revelation 7, verse 16, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And then in chapter 19, the words in verse 9, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the reading of God's holy word, holy scripture. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, as we have here this morning, we look forward. We look forward. There is a future perspective. It's not the only perspective in our celebration of the Lord's Supper, but it is also a perspective in the celebration that we look forward into the future. Our hearts look forward as our eyes see and as we taste with our mouth the symbols of bread and wine, the bread and wine of the sacrament. The form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, which we will read afterwards, the form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper puts this forward perspective under the section called expectation. Expectation of Christ's coming. And that's about the future which the Lord's Supper also shows us and also assures us of. So when we come away from this celebration, we ought to come away with a renewed expectation of and assurance of what is yet to come. There is more coming. And that more is coming one day. The bread and the wine of the sacrament shows us more to come and assures us that more is really coming. Now, it's not difficult for any of us to relate to a desire for more, an expectation for more, whether it be more comfort, more joy, more health, more healing, more security, more peace, more justice, more freedom. It's not hard to relate to the concept of wanting more. It's also not hard to relate that desire for more to the things of food and drink, some of the most basic of human desire for more. It's almost built into our now sinful DNA. Now, hunger and thirst are not sinful in themselves, but an unsatisfied hunger and thirst is a mark of our now sinful existence. Think of where and how our sin began. Genesis 3, it began when in the Garden of Eden, we wanted more. In the Garden of Eden, we would not be satisfied. We would not be content. And that was the beginning of our sin. It was also the beginning of hungering for more that would not be satisfied. Ever since our first parents took from the tree sinfully, the result was that our sinful condition, our life is marked by only hunger and thirst, a hunger and thirst that isn't satisfied. And that's not only physical hunger and thirst, but a deep spiritual hunger, an emptiness we look to fill. And the form for the Lord's Supper speaks of our eternal hunger and misery. It's an existence that is never satisfied and always chasing after satisfaction. That's the life of sin. Never satisfied, yet always chasing after satisfaction. It's the driving force behind so much of sinful human activity. Not satisfied, we need more. We need bigger. We want more. And then when we do reach something that we set our hearts and our eyes on, we find that there is still hunger and more emptiness. we cannot fill the hole of our discontent. And there is nothing in creation that can fill that for us either. Just look at the nations with their rulers and their advances and their greed. Nations start wars because of this. And technology and science and medicine hasn't done it either to fill that hole that cannot be satisfied. Hunger and thirst that refuses and cannot be satisfied. That comes from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven to save us from the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin. The Lord Jesus did that by dying for our sins on the cross. In the Lord's Supper, through the symbols of bread and wine, we remember. So that'll come up in the form as well. We remember, we look back on what the Lord Jesus has done and what he has already given us. In the Lord's Supper, we receive visibly, tangibly, the benefits of his death. His suffering and death for our sin on the cross in the past has become for us today food and drink. Jesus took away the cause of our eternal hunger and misery, which is sin, so that we can now receive out of his death nourishment and refreshment to eternal life. We can say with confidence, our unending pursuit for satisfaction ends in Jesus Christ. We have in Christ's death for our sin and in his victory over sin, we have the real beginning of satisfaction. Eternal life has begun in God's people. The bread and the wine shows us that. The bread and the wine assures us of that. The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts. We become content. We grow satisfied. Sinful hunger subsides because of Jesus, his death on the cross. But even as the bread and the wine bring us the pledge of what we already have now in Christ's death in the past, the bread and wine also bring us the pledge of Christ coming again in the future in glory. So the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, while it points us to the past, also points us to the future, that there is fullness coming from Christ. The beginning of eternal life, which we have already, is going forward to the consummation of that life, which is coming. There is a final feast coming and all fullness there. It's called, as we read, the marriage supper of the Lamb. When it comes, we will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, Revelation 7. But the highlight of that future feast is that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will be there and we with him. Physically, eternally, we will be at the same table with Jesus Christ. That's where the fullness and the satisfaction will come from. Christ's total presence with us and our total presence with him. It is called the marriage supper. It is about the marriage, Christ and his bride. So our expectation of the future is not merely a feast to be full. Our expectation for the future is to be full of Jesus Christ by the Spirit, to be full, as it were, with the Lamb of God. In his coming, in his presence, we will be filled. Marriage supper also speaks of joy. It will be far more than a regular kind of daily meal when we sit at the table with Jesus. It's a marriage feast. which is about rest and joy and fullness and fellowship in bliss. The end of all sin, the end of all misery, because of Christ's finished work and because of his full presence at that supper. The bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper here today are pledges, are guarantees of that future feast, and also pledges of our reservations at that future table. We get in these symbols a real taste, spiritually, of what is yet to come when Christ comes again. In these symbols of nourishment and refreshment for our hungry and thirsty souls is the real foretaste of the end of all hunger and all misery, and the real foretaste of the perfect joy and the never-ending fullness that is coming. And the sacrament, as a sacrament, takes away all doubt about that future. But then it is also important that we let this meal shape our expectation day by day, recalibrate, as it were, our orientation to the future. We will go back from here, from today. We will go back into our busyness, into our daily pursuits, and to our responsibilities. We have our daily work to do. We do. And we will go to the store and buy groceries. And we will set the table at supper time because of hunger and thirst. We will also work and live alongside those whose only hope is for this life and for a full belly, as the Apostle Paul writes at the end of Philippians 3. But we are the people of God by grace in Christ. So we go into this world from this table with a good understanding of the cause of all hunger and misery, which is sin. And we also understand the worse hunger and misery, which is spiritual. We learn that at this table through the gospel. But we will also go from here with the good understanding and a good grasp that the joyful fullness that we so long for will not come in this life from the things of this world, nor from our work, nor from the grocery store or the supper table. When Christ comes again, that's when all hunger and misery will disappear for all those who looked for his appearance. So in your pursuits this week, let the Lord's Supper celebration here today guide you and shape your expectations. And let others see that your pursuits here and now are not the be-all and end-all solution to human misery, your pursuits in this world. Not the be-all, end-all of all human misery. Your focus, your orientation, your ultimate pursuit must be different, is different than what this world is busy with. And maybe when you approach your life that way in your daily work and your focus, maybe that will give an opportunity to talk, to explain, to share your hope. We have a meal of great hope here. We are satisfied, and we will be finally full in Christ. Let's not squander this meal's rich, eternal benefits when we are busy with our cares and labor of every day. Amen.